Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 98, part 2, The Perfect Cleansing. Today is Sunday, May 17th, 2009.
There is hope in Jesus. There is life so real. You can be healed like you've never felt before. Like a child who trusts.
April showers bring May flowers. Here we are, May 2009. Thank you for joining me. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota in the USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in the Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to join us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also find show notes at the blog where you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And also at the blog, you're going to find links to scriptures within the show notes, so be sure to go to check those out. I hope you're enjoying our two-part podcast episodes that are aired on Friday night, as well as Sunday morning. So be sure to check both parts out. God bless you and have a great week. Have a great spring. And don't forget to smell the flowers along the way.
Because when that fetter of sin is broken, we shall never fear the loss of liberty. If the great enemy sin is conquered, we shall not fear the little enemy death. That's just a little enemy. Say amen, somebody. And we'll start to long to be with God. Long to be with Him. Death won't have no more fear over you. And you start to have a longing to be with God. Not a weird thing, but a longing. A longing to look upon Him. A longing. A desire. That's what's building up in people right now during this end time. And now secondly, I think the text perhaps as yet more pointed, and is more pointed, it has a more pointed bearing upon our sanctification than upon our justification. And there's a lot of talk about this sanctification. It is great to live daily and to live continually under the system of grace, which gives perfect deliverance from the guilt of sin. But then I started to think about this, and I've been pondering this for a whole long time. But this can never be separated from the desire to know the dispensation, let's say, in its deliverance from the power of sin. We want to be free from the power of sin, and if any man hope to be saved from punishment, and yet he holds sin as a friend, that man lives under a very hopeless delusion. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, the Bible says, to save His people from their sins, not in their sins. And when you and I are delivered from the lash, we must be delivered from the taskmaster's labor. Are you hearing this? God wants to do that. Whoo! But see, as I go on, it is still a fact that we are perfectly justified and completely clean no matter what. We are perfectly sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you hearing it? And then again, I started to ponder. All the dreams of perfect sanctification are only dreams. It can't happen here. How many know that there is much blood in you that is not yet cleansed? I do. The corruption of your flesh, I'm saying, remains even in the regenerate. And let me say tonight with a very sorrowful spirit and show some of those signs which prove to us sin indwells us. Sometimes our old nature betrays us. All of a sudden it betrays us and we fall into sudden sin. We say, oh God, how did I get into this? Ooh, do you have a hasty temper? You prayed in the morning, God help me throughout the day with my temper. And at 7:31 that evening, you blew the cork. Oh, you're probably prideful all through. God, I'm doing great. Man, nothing's going to make me mad ever again. I praise the Lord for it, but I know I had a part in it. I strive against it. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, and the little one comes in, and you just start raving and shouting and screaming over nothing. Ooh. Did you ever hurt somebody's feelings and you just grieve over it, did something terrible? Oh, it's bad when somebody hurts your feelings and you feel bad about it. But you know what really hurts me the worst? When I hurt somebody else's feelings, it's 1,000 times more hell to me. Is it to you? I mean, when you blow it and you hurt somebody else's feelings? Oh, it's hard to be the receiver, but think about the person that gives out the hurts. Think about when you do it. Don't you feel bad? God, you just about give anything to make it right. Oh, and then you just feel so awful that you go into a home improvement program. It never works. How many are hearing this? Now, don't get guilty while I'm talking here, because this is just something that we have to work out. Say amen, somebody. It's something that God has to work in us and work it out of us. But I was thinking about it. I was thinking back about all the times that I blew my stack at people, and it was unwarranted in my lifetime. And I thought about how it did wound me, and I felt so bad, and I tried with ram's fat. I offered up like I had that message on ram's fat. I offered ram's fat. And it says, pray for those that persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake, because great is your reward in heaven. And the Lord says, pray for them. I'll put burning coals upon their head. Ooh, God. You ever have burning coals on your head? I have. Ooh, maybe that's why I ain't got no hair. So many burning coals on my head. Oh, my. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You know, I read that and I thought, boy, does that fit me to a T. I was struggling with my sin nature and I was first saved and I had been through the Bible and I had read down through Romans and I had read all the way through and, you know, and then I got back to the same scripture again. I thought, man, it popped right out and slapped me in the face. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Now, if any of you can live without sin, please tell me your secret. What's your secret, O sinless wonders of the age? Okay, there you go again, Pastor Paul, telling people to willfully, wantonly, openly sin. I didn't say that. I'm talking about a sin nature. I'm talking about attitudes even. Is there anybody in here that is completely without sin? What is your secret? You preachers listening on the radio, I mean, you know, a lot of you preach like, I'll never ever sin again. I'll never sin again, huh? I don't believe that. What's your secret? Maybe we should have you on a program. I've got a secret. How many are hearing this? I don't think the boasters have really seen themselves as they really are yet, or they would boast no more. How many have seen yourself as you really are? My God, I went through several horror movies looking at myself the way I really am, and I'm a preacher of the Word of God and a gospel preacher. And even when we think, whoa, what a sinless day I had, no mire or muck upon my pants. We have our everyday sins, don't we? The sin we get up with in the morning. That, and they roll over and they say good morning to each other and they say, ooh, and they go brush their teeth. Is that a sin pile up over the night hours? I don't know. There's decay going on in our bodies all the time, it says in the Bible. See you later after a brushing, huh? But that sin you go to bed with! Did you go to bed with sin? I mean, these are everyday, just everyday sins. Did you go to bed with sin? Did you get in there and you took all your clothing off and you got in bed and you got in bed with this body? This is a body, it's a sin body. And you got in bed and you start having, you know, bad thoughts? The sin you take a shower with. Do you ever think about those? You know, a lot of times we hide those because we think, well, nobody's seen them. The sins you went to work with. Oh, I hate to go to work. Ooh. Hi, morning, 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 morning. And you're saying to yourself, oh, shut up. Those are sins. The sins that creep into your bed, the sins you take a bath with, the sins that you get up behind the pulpit with. No, don't you be looking at me like that way, preacher. The sin that creeps into your family prayers. There, isn't it? Huh? Somebody has a plugged nose and you're praying and they're wheezing. Do you wish death upon them? What I'm trying to point out, there is a sin nature that you live with. Come on! Now, I hope I'm getting this across. I'm trying to make it as simple as I can. Huh? Or the person that goes on in their prayers? And you're thinking, oh, drop dead. Huh? Our potatoes are getting cold, huh? And then your attitude ruins the whole dinner. Pass the potatoes, pass the blood, pass everything, everything's cold now. These are just everyday sins. You call them trifles. But isn't it proof that there is blood in you which has not yet been cleansed? Now often does evil come upon us so as to disable us when we need the most spiritual strength. Did you ever have a whole day where you really needed a lot of spiritual strength? And evil comes upon us and we say, why the day of all days? Ooh, why, God, why, huh? This is your time to start believing. There's always an attack before a victory. There is always, you can't have no victory unless there's two armies there, unless good and evil are coming on. Unless fear and faith are coming up against one another. Unless belief and unbelief are there, unless the opposites are there. Well, How many are hearing this? See, but these are just trifles. Right when we need to move in faith, then it seems like every evil thing creeps up. Lust jumps in the ring. Huh? Hate jumps in there. An unexpected phone call from some griper. And your whole day is, God, I need spiritual power now! Ooh, you got it, but it's the wrong spirit. Recognize your enemy. Oh, there is an angel, and I would wrestle with him. But sin has cut my sinew, you see, and I can't wrestle like I would like to. No, I can't. And there is the throne, and I would sing, but my sin has made my voice hoarse, and my spirit is dull. My harp strings are loose, so my music is off. Oh, and there may be sinners to be saved. My heart will not melt with compassion. My eyes will not flow with tears. You ever been where your eyes will not flow with tears and you look at people and say, man, they're just bawling their heart out. Why can't I cry? Because your guilty conscience is down inside there. And the main thought is upon you. That guilt and that conscience is a sort of a naggy little thing, but really it's a guilty conscience. And we try to overcompensate by being nice and by doing this and by doing that. And we only get worse. You know why? Because it's unbelief. And we don't believe the promise that God has washed us. And then I can't plead for people as I would because sin takes away my prayer power. When you want to be David's, Satan comes in and says, "Here, here now, you give me that slingshot and that stone, you hypocrite." And would you would like to be like Jael? Sin mislays the hammer and hides the nail. When you would kill a Philistine with a bone of an ass, you have no strength. Why? Sin! Is it not true that there is blood in us that is not yet cleansed? And why do we ever doubt God? And then we have people that make light of doubts as though they were little sins. No doubt is the most damnable of all crimes. I believe there is no iniquity so great as a rebellion against God. And that's saying that God is a mist. You cannot trust God, that he is not always good and that he is not always faithful. And then unbelief stabs at the very attribute of God. Pride smites off his crown, and lust treads over the whiteness of his garments. But oh, there is one that's worse than them all. Unbelief takes the sword from his hand and the crown from his head, and it even shakes the foundations of the throne. I thought to myself, why is it that we doubt God? We have no cause to doubt him. Hasn't he always been unchanging? Has he ever been uncaring? Has he ever been unkind? And the only answer we can give is that we still have an evil heart of unbelief in depravity against a living God, a living and a loving God. There is still, I believe, that house of Saul within our coast, that's still that old Adam, still that deadly principle which needs to be cut at the root and at the branch and be eradicated totally and so may cleanse us with the blood. Are you hearing this? It needs to be cut to the quick. It needs to be uprooted by our believing. And so now let's leave this matter. Now I believe a question comes. How will this happen? I believe there's a great dispute going on right now and will happen in the very end times over sanctification. Some of us take one view of it, another take another view of it. First, our nature will never be changed by calling evil good and good evil. And it says in the end, they'll call evil good and good evil. It'll never happen. Sin is sin. Christ is our only antidote. Or it would destroy us. Are you hearing this? Some say by changing our old nature. Forget it. Your old nature cannot be changed. Never. There is no homegrown, self-applied remedy that will work. Nothing. And as we grow old, the paths become more slippery. Some people say, well, you're past that now. You're older and you're wiser. No. There is no fool like an old fool. Say amen. Look at David, who stood in his youth and later fell for Bathsheba. Look at Peter and look at Samson. We do not improve with age. We get meaner. We get more cantankerous. We get more crafty. Right? We do. We know all the mistakes someone else is making, but we know how to cover it up. We know what they're doing, and we know all those things, but we know more than they know. But we're a little craftier, and we're a little slyer, and we're able to cover it up just a little bit more, but that guilty conscience is still there. Why? Unbelief. Same, and old dog, this is an old dog. You cannot teach an old dog new tricks. I don't care how many bowls of gravy train you put before him. It will not change his mind, no, not one iota. The older we get, the harder we get as we go on living in our unbelief. As we go on, you know, in this unbelieving attitude about the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. It's even getting so it's almost boring to people to hear about the blood of Jesus Christ that will totally, if they will receive it, if they will know once and forever and for always that God has cleansed them once and forever and for always, if they would really know that, they would have the jump and joy of Jesus and they could just go ahead and be more than conquerors through Christ that strengthens them. But you know what keeps them back is a guilty conscience every time. They're always trying to compensate for a guilty conscience and they go on trying to improve their Adam. It cannot happen. He puts on a whole lot of disguises. Did you know your Adam will put on disguises? Well, he won't know me as this person, and he comes out, and he's all dressed. He said, it's the same. Huh? Sure. Did you ever notice that about ourselves? Our guilty conscience keeps us working with our Adam, trying to improve him. And so this Adam's going to be different. This Adam is going to be trusting in the Lord. Adam does not want to trust in God. Period. The carnal man is enmity against God. He hates God. Wants nothing to do with the cross, doesn't want to hear about the blood, doesn't want to hear about justification by faith, does not want to hear it! I got kicked out of the garden! Huh? He's evil. Now, henceforth and forevermore, always will be, won't change, does have no desire to change! None! We keep trying to improve and we got a new Adam on. This is the new image. That's what people say all the time, isn't it? This is my new image. I know, I'll get a different haircut. I'll look like this person. I'll look like that person. And I'll read my Bible more. And I'll get into the concordance and I'll study and I'll become holy. It has become mean. You're trying to improve your own Adam. It has nothing to do with justification by faith. You could be the less read in the Bible and be the most loving sometimes. And I'm not telling you not to read your Bible, but a lot of people get into that and they get prideful in their Adam. Say amen, somebody. Or even in their preaching. A lot of times it's Adam up there. Isn't that? Huh?
Well, today we're going to speak on...
Huh? Jesus isn't in it. The blood isn't mentioned. The cross isn't mentioned. Salvation is never... there's no altar calls. I'll tell you, Adam stinks. Don't try to dress him up. You got to put a deodorant on him every day. Don't that show you something?
How many are hearing this?
The old Adam is always and always will be, oh yes, an enemy of God. And the way in which God cleanses our blood is not by making the new nature any better. You can't make the new nature any better. Can you improve on the divine nature that God has put in you? Don't try to improve your divine nature. It is already perfected. Was that right? Are you going to improve your divine nature? Now, I'm not talking about the flesh part over here. Have you seen people that try to improve their divine nature? Ooh, they're mean. Ooh. There's nothing meaner than a person that tries to improve their divine nature. Because the divine nature won't have nothing to do with them, even though it lives on the inside. They get resentful. They get hateful. They don't like people anymore. And so they say, I've got to improve my divine nature. And really what they're doing, they're living under a guilty conscience, and old Adam is trying to improve himself. Trying to work it out! See, the new principle which God implants in the regeneration is as good as it ever can be. It is, the Bible says, the seed, the incorruptible seed. Don't try to corrupt it with your ideas. The seed which cannot sin, for it is of God. There is a seed within you that cannot sin, for it is of God. The bad in you can't be good, but the good in you can't be bad. Don't you see there's a war going on? How many know you got a war going on the inside? There's a seed and there's a divine nature that cannot be corrupted. It is incorruptible. It cannot be changed. It is unchangeable. It is already perfected. Isn't that a good promise? Whoa! The new nature can by no means sin, for it is pure. And it can by no means fall, for it has immortality and life. Not only a life, but a life of perfection. But you got to believe the promise. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. The incorruptible seed. And you put your time and your attention and your faithful direction upon the promises of God, and you start to get built up in the faith, and you start to get built up in Jesus, and you say, shut up, guilty conscience, and let God deal with it. And you say, I'm saved, huh? And you go on looking at those things, whatsoever things are pure and good, and so, and you start, you know, looking at those things. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him, and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him, and worship Him. Shut up, devil! I'm saved. Try that! Right in the middle of one of your bloopers. Your new nature can no way fall. It has immortality. It can't sin, for it is the incorruptible seed born of God. But these two different principles collide daily. The old Adam wants his way, but the new Adam will have his way. Adam's down there. I have my way. Hey, I got a say in this. I was first born. I'm the elder brother. Huh? I worked in the garden. Huh? Oh, but there's another brother. There is a new Adam, the second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And there's going to come a collision between the two. And there's a warring against the spirit and the flesh. a continual warring. Sit down, honey. Sit down. Listen to this. Listen to this message. It's only got 5 more minutes to go. My God, let me have your attention. There is a warring in your flesh going out with Sonny boy with a lock of hair. And, you know, just do anything he wants you to. There's a warring, and then the Spirit says, no. Don't do that. And I must say this, but if you do that, there's one that intercedes for you forever. If you do that, ask for forgiveness, and God says, I will forgive you. I will purge you. I will wash you. You don't have to sin, for sin has no more hold on you if you'll get rooted and grounded in that. And you'll give all your time and attention and put all of your energies over to that side. You'll have the victory. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. Now you got God's strength. Don't go by might nor power. Go by God's strength, the Spirit. You believe the Spirit can ease your conscience? Oh, yes. But these new things all the time are coming. Old Adam wants his way, but the new Adam will have his way. And they fight and they struggle and they are contrary to one another. And we are afflicted and we mourn and we weep. When we would do good, evil is present with us. Whenever that you do good, evil is always present. Always. Oh, let's see, I'll do this. And the Holy Spirit moves on you to do a good work. Evil, stand right there. Watching. What do you think you're doing now, you big show-off? Trying to get some glory for yourself or some... that's that old Adam. That's that firstborn. That's that flesh. It is. Whenever that you go to do good in the Spirit, your old flesh says, don't do it. Hey, let somebody else do it. You've done enough. Huh? How many are hearing this? There's a warning in your members, against your members. There's always a warning. So we find a law, I said, and I'll close with this, in our members, warring against the law in our members, until we die. And then you will be complete when you die. We shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We shall receive our complete second nature in its fullness. Like filthy rags, this flesh will drop away. Only fit, the Bible says, for the dunghill. And we shall be clean, and we are saved, and we are saved, and we are saved right now. But we are encased in this body. Say amen. I thought this, and I thought, let me dream a while. And I said, God, what would it be like if we could, by the blood, all be completely cleansed right now? Oh, if the minister's blood was complete. What a minister. What a pulpit. What a power. What a very incarnation of the love of Christ would be behind that pulpit. No fear, no discord. And the shepherd would... by his very presence would stop all rebellion and division and discord. Oh, what a preacher. No hard words and oh, what preaching and no legalism and oh, what solemn earnestness. And what a pleading for sinners and what a tearful eye and what a melting heart. What a moving of the Lord and what moving periods there would be in the gospel preaching. What rousing thunders. What cheering syllables of consolation. I will cleanse their blood, which I have not cleansed. And oh, how I would like to have that fulfillment to happen to me right now tonight. Oh, how I would like to have it happen to all the board members, to all the congregation, to all the music ministry, standing completely sanctified. What power. What anointings we would have. What examples we would all be. What pillars of light. What flaming torches of devotion. Perfect members freed from sin. No denominations, no arguments, oh, nothing like that. A perfect church. You want to know what would happen to such a church in this day and age? It would be burnt to the very ground, and everybody in it would be immediately crucified. And that's what we're coming to be. Say amen, somebody. And also I thought, well, as long as I'm dreaming here, Lord, how sweet our bread would be. And I meant our daily needs met. Well, we would just receive our daily needs we met and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. How sweet our fellowship would be. How different our trials would be. How different our joys would be. Not little squirts of joy, but a flowing of joy. No more fussing over positions. How forgiving we would be. How forbearing we would be. No more curtains and no more shades on the windows of our houses. No more gossip and no more locks and no more jealousy and no more envy and no more strife and no more arguing and no more hating. All sin thoughts would be gone. Oh God, wouldn't that be heaven? Now tonight then, grab a hold of this hope. God will see this done. In you, and I'm saying in you, and I'm saying period. The joy then is knowing we are completely justified, and that we within us contain that new seed that can't sin, and that we are totally accepted in the beloved, and that we have a promise of total victory, and that gives us joy. It says in the Bible, the joy of the Lord shall be our strength. All that believe in Christ Jesus shall this text be fulfilled today and in the last day and in the days without end. He is able. Then I heard someone say in the middle of all this dreaming, why fight then? And I thought, yeah, that's right. Why fight then if it's all done? And I thought, because nothing makes, and this thought came to me, makes a man fight like the hope of getting the victory. When we have a blessed hope, and that means an earnest expectation of a knowing that it's going to happen, not a hope like a worldly hope, but a hope in the Lord, a knowing that it's going to happen. We like to be partakers of that. When we see the victory, and when we're told the victory is ours, that all we have to do is go out and get it. It's like in your flesh, there's $1 million, go over and get it. And it's like the spiritual victory that's ours. That's what makes us go for it. The blessed hope, Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going for tonight, and that's what I'm going to continue to go for. I'm not going to let my conscience get the best of me and cause me to falter and fall all the time. Because I know the blood of Jesus Christ washes me from all sin. And I know that I have this body of sin that I'm going to live in it until the very day that I die. But also know that there's an incorruptible seed that lives within me that can't sin, that won't sin, that never, ever, ever would have a desire to sin because it's a divine nature. It cannot be improved upon. You can go to every Bible study there ever was. You can't improve on the divine nature. All you can do is feed it. All you can do is have fellowship with it by taking it in that we change day by day, step by step, precept upon precept. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, one day at a time. Don't be too hard on yourselves, and don't be too hard on other folks, for we are changing. When we start to encourage each other that we are changing day by day. And we look at others out there that might do some kind of hurt to us and say, oh God, I know how they're feeling because I feel bad they did the hurt to me, but they feel 1,000 times worse than I do. God, help that person. Pray for your enemies. Why? Because they need prayer. It's Say amen, somebody. You understand this message, and I hope I broke through on it. I'm trying to, in this series of messages, get people back into understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we can go on in the fullness of what God has already foredone for us. Praise God. And we've got to start to believe the promise as a finished work. Praise the Lord. And don't let all that guilt come in and all that guilty conscience. Oh, if I only did this and I only did that, and I could have been a much better mom or dad, or I could have been a better son, and I could have been a better preacher. Oh, I'm a failure. God, strike me dead. I don't deserve you. No, it has nothing to do with it. God is going to love you whether you like it or not. Okay? He will. And when you get that inside of your system, it just gives you a desire to work for the Lord. You don't walk around with a guilty conscience, always confessing every little thing. Oh, I'm a nasty. Oh, I just got this terrible. You start singing, I am saved, saved, saved. And you start giving the other side of the coin. Say amen, somebody. Let's hear it for the Lord. Woo! I tell you, the coming of the Lord is not too far away. It's not a time to walk around in defeat and with a guilty conscience, but it's a time to know in whom you have believed that he is able to keep you unto that very hour, and he will, for it's his promise, justified by faith. Say amen, somebody. Fully, full assurance. No one but Jesus. No one. Perfect cleansing. Oh, I tell you, it's a time to start to rejoice in those things and say, oh, Lord, thank you that I no more have to walk around with a guilty conscience, that I don't have to follow after sin, because sin right now is not my taskmaster. I'm going to follow after you, Lord, as you just give me the grace to do it. Give me the understanding that I am no longer belong to the world system, but that I belong to you no matter what. No matter what, I belong to Jesus. Isn't that a good message? My God, doesn't that make you want to follow the Lord and just do more and more and more and just praise him and sing to him, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Ooh. Let's sing that song. Come on. So if you tell a tear.